You're listening to the Christian Humanist Radio Network, christianhumanist.org.
This is the last cowboy song, the end of 100-year wars. The voices sound sad as they're singing along. Another piece of America's lost.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the City of Man podcast. My name is Coyle Neal. I'm an associate professor of political science at Southwest Baptist University in Bolivar, Missouri. I'd like to welcome you to the third part of our conversation about country music in the early 2000s, where Danny, Michael, and I talk about what's going on in the industry, specifically relevant to September 11th and to the Dixie Chicks scandal. Thanks again for tuning in. Well, let's talk some politics then. Michael, tell us about the Dixie Chicks in the 2000s.
Yeah, the Dixie Chicks were, as you noted at the outset of this episode, one of the biggest acts in country music. They had a series of great singles that were also big hits, maybe proving our skepticism about the radio wrong. And then the United States invaded Iraq, and the Dixie Chicks were playing a show in, I think, England, and between songs, yeah, they said,
"And all week, the only thing people keep asking is, what are you going to say? Do you know what you're going to say?" And as usual, I didn't plan anything, but I thought I'd say something brand new and just say, "Just so you know, we're ashamed the President of the United States is from Texas."
Just so you know, we're embarrassed that the President is from Texas also. And a firestorm of controversy erupted. The flames were fanned by Toby Keith, whose fans started this. I remember it being very vulgar T-shirt war with the Dixie Chicks. Like, people would wear shirts that said FUDC and FUTK. Meaning what you think of Dixie Chicks and what you think of Toby Keith, right? And the Toby Keith side won in the sense that the Dixie Chicks were basically banned from country radio. I don't know if there was ever a power that be that said, you are not allowed to play the Dixie Chicks anymore, but certainly the effect was as if somebody had said that. And they didn't put out another record for a good many years, and when they did come back, it was with a song called "Not Ready to Make Nice." I don't think was a very good song, frankly, not up to the normal standards, but it was very clearly about that whole situation. And they were trying to re-spin themselves as the kind of rebels of country music. And I think they ended up being accepted more by the Americana movement, which they always kind of belonged to. But the Americana movement, let's just say, has more Democrats in it than mainstream country music. So they were writing songs with Gary Loris from the Jayhawks and stuff like that for that record. But it was a big deal at the time. And I'll admit, I find it a little distasteful when Americans go to other countries and complain about our government. But I also don't know that it's reasonable to feel that that's distasteful. And obviously, I think it's absurd that it blew up into the controversy it blew up into. Anybody who liked Bush should have looked at that, rolled their eyes, and said, "Oh, the Dixie Chicks," and then moved on. You know, there was the kind of blackballing of them that happened was utterly absurd, and it's a real shame because the song that was on radio at the time was a song called "Traveling Soldier."
2 days past 18, he was waiting for the bus in his army green, sat down in a booth. Cafe there, gave his order to a girl with a bow in her hair. He's a little shy, so she gave him a smile, and he said, "Would you mind sitting down for a while and talking to me? I'm feeling a little low." She said, "I'm off in an hour and I know where we can go." So they went down. Said, "I bet you got a boyfriend, but I don't care. I got no one to send a letter to. Would you mind if I sent one back here to you? I cried, never gonna hold the hand of another guy. Too young for him, they told her.
Which is a really great, subtle anti-war song that's beautiful and moving and does everything that their snide remark about the president did, but better, in my opinion. Like, they could have been a better voice against the Iraq war just by releasing that song and not making those statements. But then you're getting dangerously close to saying, well, musicians shouldn't make political statements, and I don't believe that either. I mostly think we should have just ignored it, people who didn't like what they had to say. Just like I would like to ignore the things Toby Keith says.
Yeah, I remember that at the time and thinking, why can't we disagree with their political opinion and still enjoy their music? If I were the sort of person who liked Dixie Chicks music, I was always a little lukewarm on them to begin with. Some of my friends in high school were all, what the Earl's Gotta Die song, is that
Goodbye,
the name
Earl.
Of it?
Marianne and Wanda were the best of friends all through their high school days. Both members of the 4-H club, both active in the FFA. After graduation, Marianne went out looking for a bright new world. Wanda looked all around this town and all she found was Earl. Well, it wasn't 2 weeks after she got married that Wanda started getting abused. She put on dark glasses, long sleeves.
Goodbye, Earl. There we go. Like that was. It's okay.
That's a novelty song.
Again, it wasn't my speed.
They've got some great music. Like they were really a talented group, and there's no doubt that that controversy put the damper on their career. And I mean, they've put out records since then, but none of them have gotten the sort of acclaim that their early records got. I'm sure, you know, any kind of creative collaboration is lightning in a bottle, right? And anything you do to disrupt that lightning, it's going to be hard to get it back. And it's a shame that that happened to them. Again, I think what they said was kind of silly. I'm not a George W. Bush fan. I never really was. But it's a kind of silly thing for them to say. But I certainly don't see why it had to result in them getting kicked off the radio. Danny, yeah. What thoughts do you have?
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way. I mean, although I don't think it was all that silly. I mean, if you're playing in a stadium full of people who are probably not enthusiastic about Tony Blair following on George Bush's heels to Iraq, right? And so, I mean, you're saying something that's going to play well to that group right in front of you, and I don't think it was that ridiculous of a thing to say. And it began this whole, like, shut up and sing kind of ethos that they don't believe.
Which I don't believe in.
But they don't believe it either, because when they sing their politics, it's just fine, right? It's just
right.
They don't want to hear it, which is what I'm going to talk about, right?
But let me push back on that. Let me tell you why I don't like it. I don't like it when somebody from an in-group from the United States, from country music, goes to an out-group and badmouths the group they're part of. So if they had made anti-Bush statements to country music fans in America, it wouldn't have bothered me. But I don't know. It's that whole, like, I'm not a real American. I'm a cool American. That's what bothers me about it.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I can't say that I'm not part of that. I mean, I call myself a Christian, but with lots of caveats, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so I think
it's
important.
Yeah, but I don't like you either, Danny.
Well, no one does. So, yeah. So I don't know. I get the, oops, someone's cooking upstairs and the fire alarm just went off.
Nice.
Yeah. Or at least what is it? Is it okay if they criticize the out group, if they also criticize when they're with the in group?
Yeah.
Like if they'd said that in the US and then gone to England and said it, would it have been,
And you know, maybe they did, and that just didn't get any press. And again, even if it's a violation, it's such a minor violation that the appropriate response is to say, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you on the shut up and sing. Like, if it is a rule, it's a dumb one, but I don't think it is. I was watching an interview with the guy who's been on Saturday Night Live for like 30 years now, Kenan Thompson?
Yeah,
is that
Thompson,
it?
Yeah.
Kenan Thompson, and he was talking about when Kanye was the host for Saturday Night Live, and apparently Kanye was just on and on about how awesome Trump is.
Yeah.
And all of the cast members were like, hey, we're shut up, we're just here to do comedy. Which, you That's know rich. If he were there about how terrible Trump is, or about how great, you know, whoever Hillary is, they all would have been fine with it. So, yeah, that's the double standard is not okay, regardless of who's doing it.
Well, Jason Isbell ran into this a couple years ago because he released that song White Man's World.
I'm a white man living in a white man's world. Under our roof is a baby girl. I thought this world could be hers one day, but her mama knew better. I'm a white man living in a white man's town. Wanna take a shot of cocaine and burn it down. Mama wants to change that Nashville sound, but they're never gonna let her. There's no such thing as someone else's war. Your creature comforts are the only things worth fighting for. Still breathing, it's not too late.
which I don't think is a very good song. I don't think it does the things that Jason Isbell does well. But he talked a lot in interviews about how he felt like Trump voters had betrayed something important about their rural heritage, about who they were, their kind of values. And, you know, the usual suspects told him to shut up and sing. And I thought, if Jason right. Isbell's not allowed to talk about the state of rural America, you know, this yeah. guy who comes from poverty in northern Alabama and who like clearly maintains a great deal of sympathy with that group of people. Like, I mean, his music is really driven by empathy. If he's not allowed to talk about it, it's clear you just don't want anybody to contradict your political beliefs.
Yeah. I just listened to it once so far, his new album, but there is a song that I remember hearing yesterday when I was listening to it that addresses that maybe subtly, but there is a song kind of about that.
You're talking about Be Afraid?
I don't remember which song. Like I said, I've listened through it once. I don't know what song it was.
Yeah, there's a couple of kind of semi-political, but they're political in the mode of like Tom Petty's I Won't Back Down, where there's no real explicit content. It's not like White Man's World.
Yeah, true.
But the Dixie Chicks didn't even do anything like that, right? They made a statement at a concert in England, and if it had happened 10 years earlier, nobody even would have known about it. But because it was relatively easy to videotape it and send that video around the world in 2003, there you have it.
Well, and I just want to say about the Dixie Chicks real quick. They were big in the late 90s. I was living in New York City and I had given up on country music, and I'm like, wow, they're really good. Like, there was like the one, I felt like it was like a redemption of country music in general, right? And for that to happen to them, I felt like it was a real tragedy, and maybe why I'm just so sour on what came after them.
If you got the choose between Toby Keith and the Dixie Chicks, you know, there's no contest for me.
No. No.
Oh, there's not for me either, but I suspect it goes the other way. So, like, if you hand me a, you know, Toby Keith CD and a Dixie Chicks CD, I'm probably going to play the Toby Keith CD.
Do you ever get tired of having the wrong opinion, Coyle?
It's what gets me up in the morning, Michael.
Let me ask you the question.
Anything else?
Ed won't ask. What's wrong with you?
Anything else on the Dixie Chicks? Otherwise, Danny, tell us how much you hate America.
Wait, he has to fly to England to do it.
Yes. This is only addressed to my fellow Americans. Yes.
So tell us about the effect of September 11th on country music.
The effect, I can tell you the effect of me listening to this music, and it's it's pissing me off.
Danny's gone full Lewis Black.
No, I gotta say, so yeah, I had not heard about half of these songs before. I kind of know to avoid this kind of stuff because country music has always had this kind of weird jingoistic, you know, it allows for that, right? And so if it's not dominant, it's there, and there's always going to be a market for this kind of really kind of nasty, dumbed down patriotism. And a lot of what came out after 9/11 was exactly that. And I'm just looking at obviously the worst is Ray Stevens, who, why anyone lets him near a microphone at this stage anyway, I don't know. But Osama Yo Mama is like abjectly racist and offensive and just dumb. It wasn't even clever, you know what I mean? Song. And so, like, that's as bad as it got. Charlie Daniels, I love Charlie Daniels, and I get that he has this part of his personality, this ain't no rag, it's a flag.
We don't wear it on our heads. It's a symbol of the land where the good guys live. Are you listening to what I said? You a coward and a fool, and you broke all the rules, and you wounded our American pride. And now we're coming with a gun, and you know you're gonna run, but you can't find no place to hide. We're gonna hunt you down like a mad dog and hound, make you pay for the knives you stole. We're all through talking and messing around, and now it's time to rock and roll. Colors don't run, and we speak as one. When we say united, we stand. If you mess with one, you mess with us all.
boy, girl, woman, and man. You've been acting mighty rash and talking that trash. Let me give you some advice. You can crawl back in your hole like a dirty little mole, but now it's time to pay the price. You might have shot us in the back, now you have to face the fact that the big boy's in the game. And the thunder's been crashing and the lightning's been flashing, and now it's getting ready to rain. This is the United States of America, the land of the brave and free. We believe in God, we believe in justice, we believe in liberty. You better pull on our chain, we should have done something about you a long time ago. But now the flag's flying high and the fur's gonna fly, soon the whole world's gonna know.
And so that one wasn't like as shocking to me because I get that part of him, but he's a great enough artist in other ways. I'm willing to kind of live with that. You know what I'm saying? Like Willie Nelson working with Toby Keith, kind of. I'm willing to live with that. And some of these, I have to say, now Aaron Tippin again makes this. There were a couple of these. Aaron Tippin's and the Brooks and Dunn. They were just kind of generically, isn't America awesome, right? They're not really good songs, but yeah.
They'd been released before September 11th and then got kind of resuscitated afterwards.
Yeah, they're just
I didn't know that.
Yeah. The Brooks and – I have to say, the Brooks and Dunn –
traffic jam, staring at the faces in a rearview mirror, looking at the promise of the promised land. One kid dreams of fame and fortune, one kid helps pay the rent.
I've never really like watched videos of them. Is it Ronnie Brooks, the lead singer?
Kix Brooks and Ronnie Dunn.
Kix, okay.
Ronnie Dunn's the lead singer.
Okay. He makes the strangest faces when he sings. Like when you watch him sing, he does the weirdest things with his facial muscles. But anyway, but yeah, those two songs. I mean, that's definitely not the worst Aaron Tippin song I've heard. It's, I mean, as far I know, that's faint praise, but
high praise.
But the but those are just kind of generically isn't America awesome in the Lee Greenwood tradition, right? And so I think this is them trying to kind of create a retirement song for themselves for when they go to the county. They'll be doing that in halftime shows at SEC football games. And so the other one, Toby Keith's was really like inflammatory, right?
American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see your glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we
up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list, and a Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here when you hear Mother Freedom start a ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
The song itself isn't so much inflammatory. It's, I think, the stature of Toby Keith singing it with the situation that he had with the Dixie Chicks is what made it worse, kind of, right? But the Angry American song, courtesy of the red, white, and blue, right? And it's, to me, it's like not surprising, but not particularly offensive, given that there's always this kind of just ugly jingoism that you see in country music. And after 9/11, I would expect nothing less than something like that from someone like Toby Keith. Okay. And so I have nothing really good or bad to say about, or nothing really good to say about those songs. Okay. I will say, I mean, with the exception of Brooks and Dunn and Aaron Tippins, those are just sort of generic patriotic songs that I don't think are offensive. Really, they're corny and not necessarily great, but they're not offensive. And Aaron Tippins, you know, at least he tried to put a bunch of minority people in his video for it. And so, but now I do want to take a minute. There were some like standouts in here. Like, okay, and the David Worley song, Have You Forgotten, is also bad. I wanted to say that.
I hear people say we don't need this war, but I say there's some things worth fighting for. What about our freedom and this piece of ground? We didn't get to keep them by backing down. They say we don't realize the mess we're getting in. Before you start your preaching, let me ask you this, my friend. Have you forgotten how it felt that day? Your homeland under fire and her people blown away. Have you forgotten when those towers fell? We had neighbors still inside going through a living hell. And you say we shouldn't worry about Bin Laden. Have you forgotten?
That is also like, how dare you oppose this Iraq war because don't you love America, right? And so that was to me a really bad song, and it has aged really badly with what we know about the Iraq war. And so I do want to say some nice things, though. John Michael Montgomery's Letters from Home.
My dearest son, it's almost June. I hope this letter catches up with you and finds you well. It's been dry, but they're calling for rain, and everything's the same old same in Johnsonville. Your stubborn old daddy ain't said too much, but I'm sure you know he sends his love. And she goes on in a letter from home. I hold it up and show my buddies like we ain't scared, and our boots ain't muddy, and they all laugh like there's something funny about the way I talk when I say mama sends her best, y'all. Fold it up and put it in my shirt, pick up my gun and get back to work. And it keeps me driving on
waiting on letters from home.
It's addressing like the post 9/11 conflict and that moment in America, but just as a story about a character, right? And so I don't think there's anything particularly offensive. I think as far as those songs go, that's pretty well done. And I want to say, like, to me, the highlight of all of these was Alan Jackson's "Where Were You?"
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Were you in the yard with your wife and children, or working on some stage in L.A.? Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor? Or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for the children who lost their dear loved ones, pray for the ones who don't know? Did you rejoice for the people who walked from the rubble and sob for the ones left below? Did you burst out with pride for the red, white, and blue, and the heroes who died just doing what they do? Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer, and look at yourself and what really matters? I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love.
I mean, it's just him being pensive and thoughtful about a terrible time, right? And so I thought that what he did with that was just fine, and actually a very kind of helpful song in a lot of ways. And so I think those two are kind of standouts. Good. I got to say, this David Ball song I'd never heard, Riding with Private Malone.
I was just out of the service, thumbing through the classifieds, when an ad that said old Chevy somehow caught my eye. The lady didn't know the year or even if it ran, but I had that $1,000 in my hand. It was way back in the corner of this old ramshackle barn, with 30 years of dust and dirt on that green army tarp. And when I pulled the cover off, it took away my breath. What she called a Chevy was a 66 Corvette. I felt a little guilty as I counted out the bills. What a thrill I got when I sat behind the wheel. I opened up the glove box and that's when I found the note. The date was 1966 and this is what he wrote. He said, my name is Private Andrew Malone, and if you're reading this, then I didn't make it home. But for every dream that shattered, another one comes true. This car was once a dream of mine, now it belongs to you. Though you may take her and make her your own, always be riding with Private Malone.
Which is just generally support the troops, like, themed. But Coyle, did you think about, like, the meaning of that song, basically?
I didn't, and I think it might be another that was written before, but I'm not sure. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Even if it is. So I took it that this dude died in Vietnam, And so his mom, or I think his mom or somebody,
sells
his old Corvette. And the private says, well, he left a note in the glove box. Well, if you're reading this, I never made it back from the war, right? And so basically the theme of the song is, thank God for soldiers dying because I get their cool stuff, right? And the girls will think I'm awesome for driving this cool Corvette through town.
I don't know that's the intent of the song, but
that's
yeah.
exactly what it says, right? So it's a sweet and lovely song until you think about what he's actually saying. But so, yeah, other than Alan Jackson and John Michael McGovern, I think it's a total nightmare. And like I said, I think I aged, like, you took several months off my life from having me listen to these.
Were there a number of rock songs or pop songs about 9/11? Because all the songs I can think of were country songs.
Well, Bruce Springsteen's "The Rising," the whole album was a post 9/11 album.
That's true. Although a lot of those songs are from before that, and just kind of repurposed them. My City of Ruins was written about Asbury Park, and "You're Missing" was from a soundtrack album in the 90s. So just kind of some of them really obviously are. They have to be. But yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
And I know Steve Earle came out with one that I didn't like at the time. I wonder if I would like it now, because I was less radical than I am now, probably. And,
less
and I
Steve like, Earle-ish?
I think I, maybe so, but I don't know that I'll go back and listen to it. But I remember it being very much like, what are we so complaining about? Civilization's fall. Don't be such a baby. And I felt like it was kind of...
Jeez!
I felt like it was... a little rude, I guess, and maybe I would appreciate it more 20 years later. I don't know, but I know those are the two that came to mind.
I don't follow rock music, so I have nothing. I assume not. I assume they just don't care or supported the terrorists. So
there were a lot of pro Osama bin Laden rock songs. It's true.
Yeah, they directly funneled money from album sales to Al Qaeda. Yes.
Well, anything else about it? I'll probably edit all of that out. Anything else about anything that we've covered today? Otherwise, sorry, Michael, we're a little
it's
over your time.
It's mostly my fault.
Well, thank you, listeners, for tuning in to the City of Man podcast. The City of Man is part of the Christian Humanist Radio Network. Our press liaison is Kristen Filippic. Please check out the other podcasts in our family and get more information about this show or our show notes by visiting ChristianHumanist.org. Please also leave us a review on iTunes to help other people find our show. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/cityofmanpodcast or get in touch with us at cityofmanpodcast@gmail.com. This is Coyle Neal reminding you to render unto Caesar those things that are Caesar's, and render unto God those things that are God.
The end of a 100-year wars. The voices sound sad as they sing along. Another piece of America's lost.